B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two. Adam Jones, Christian Arcan, in for Zoe and Beadle. We're here till 2. Taking your phone call, 617-779-0985. Bunchy waiting patiently on the Patriots. We mentioned, and Arcan had it in headlines, that Dano Chara sounds like he remains committed to the Bruins. And, Torey Krug sounds like he's out. Just reading the tea leaves from their media availability, Bruins breakup day today. If more develops there, we'll get it for you. We'll get you some of that audio, hopefully coming up here in a little bit. And we'll get to your phone call, 617-779-0985. So Billy plays the Geno music there coming back, Arcan. Now why would that be? Why would we be playing? The Celtics didn't play last night. I mean, they do play tonight.
Right.
Game three. And I said there was a shocking development last night. I fully expected the Bucks to even that series last night. Just like they did. They lost game one to Orlando. Big deal. You know, the Bucks will come back and win this series. They're not going to lose to stinky Miami. They're not going to lose to the Heat. Okay, and I've had a thing about the Heat all year long. I really just don't respect their talent. Like, Butler's really good. Adebayo is fine. You know, he's an all-star caliber player. You know, he's like a Chris Middleton to me. He's like an okay number two, nothing special. And then the rest of their team is like a bunch of shooters who, if they're hot, I guess you got to deal with them. But the rest of the team, I don't really respect all that much. I'm down on Miami's talent. Maybe I'm just underestimating them. But I thought the Bucks would win that game. I thought it would be 1-1. And I'm sitting here watching the game last night. During the Revs and who was it?
NYCFC.
NYCFC.
Yeah.
And I was hanging on like every kick up and down the pitch, mm-hmm. right? We did an hour last night.
Every touch.
Then we had the Revs. Yes, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Every touch. Yeah, we had an hour, then we went to the Revs, then we were back on after the game. And so while I was hanging on every touch, every kick up and down the pitch, all two goals last night, none of which were for the Revolution. While I was hanging on that and completely and totally locked in, I did happen to notice out of the corner of my eye that Bucks game. And it was a ridiculous finish. We can get to the referees and some comments from after the game coming up in a little bit. But it was a ridiculous finish to the game, right? Middleton gets bailed out on a bad foul call on Dragic, gets three free throws to tie the game. And then at the other end, Butler gets bailed out on a questionable foul call on Giannis. Yeah, there was contact, but that's a soft call. And the Heat win on a couple of free throws, right? So as I'm paying attention to this, and reality sets in that the Bucks are down 0-2, you know what I realized, Arcan?
I know what you're going to say.
I realized that the Boston Celtics are going to win the whole thing.
Banner 18.
I realized that the Boston Celtics are going to be your NBA champions in the bubble.
Mm.
And I've been saying this for a long time. I don't believe in either of those, but I shouldn't say that. I don't like the matchup for the LA teams against Boston. I don't. I said that before the playoffs began. I feel even more strongly about that after watching them in the postseason, and especially watching the Clippers, who were bad in the first round against the Mavs. Yeah, they got by Dallas, and yeah, Doncic is a handful, but Porzingis went down halfway through that series, and they still struggled with Dallas. They still took six games to take out the seven seed. So I feel even more strongly about that with the Clippers. We'll see with the Lakers. I like the Celtics in the matchup against those two LA teams. They split with both of them this year. They blew out the Lakers in one game. It was a close loss in the other. Both Clippers games went to overtime. I like the Celtics in that matchup. And as I already established, I don't respect the Miami Heat. I don't. I don't like their talent all that much. Butler would be the best player in the series, in my opinion. But after that, you have Tatum, you have Jaylen Brown, you have Kemba. Like, who? Where's Adebayo factor in all of that? Probably somewhere in the top five. Probably better than Jaylen. But I think the Celtics should beat Miami. It'd be a failure if the Celtics didn't beat Miami. And it'd be a failure if the Celtics don't turn around and finish off Toronto. The Raptors aren't winning 4 out of 5 against the Celtics. They're not going to do it. So this is contingent on the Bucks losing to Miami and not making the Eastern Conference Final. Because if Milwaukee gets there, I will pick Milwaukee. I will. But I'm assuming Milwaukee's not winning 4 or 5 against Miami. I'm assuming the Raptors aren't winning 4 or 5 against the Celtics. I won't be picking the Heat against the Celtics, and I'll pick the Celtics against both LA teams. So as I look at the path, Arcan, and it's starting to open up like it opened up for the Bruins last year, the Boston Celtics are going to be your champions in the bubble. That occurred to me last night with the Bucks blowing that game And I have a feeling the Celtics aren't going to pee away an opportunity like the Bruins did last year. They're not going to take a steaming hot dump in a game seven and choke it away like the Bruins did last year. I have a feeling the Celtics will capitalize on the opportunity that's in front of them. So, Billy, I feel pretty good about the Celtics. I feel pretty good about their chances right now. In fact, that's right. Turn it up. The Celtics are winning the whole thing, Arcan. That's what's going on. If the Bucks can't beat Miami, the Celtics are your NBA champions.
Can someone put Jones's face on Gino's body, please?
It is officially 2020. I'm on Team Marcus Smart. He's hitting five threes to win you games. The Celtics are going to win the whole thing. That's what I realized watching. Well, I was mostly watching the Revs. Just a little sneak peek out of the corner of my eye. I saw the Bucks lose, and I said, the Celtics are your champs. It's going to happen. So I'm not going to fight it anymore. It's going to happen.
All right. I'll let the music play because I don't agree with you. I think they're making it to the finals for sure. I'll Gino dance right to the NBA finals. I don't see anyone stopping them if it's the Bucks losing here. But I don't see him beating the Lakers. I don't see him beating the Lakers at all. Now maybe they don't have to play the Lakers. You know, maybe someone does their dirty work for them. Maybe Houston knocks them out. Maybe the Nuggets knock off the Clippers. Who knows? I mean, that's certainly possible. But do I think the Celtics are sure things to beat either of those teams? No, I don't. And I also think if the Bucks were to come back,
I'd say they're a sure thing. But I'm picking them.
I wouldn't pick them against either of those two teams. As much as I like them, and as much as I think, you know, they are really proving something here with this run that they're on. I mean, they're undefeated so far in the playoffs, which is no small thing. And they're better than they were last year, no question about it. But first of all, they still got to finish off the Raptors, which I think they will, but we'll see how easy that is. I don't think they're going to sweep them. Do you think they'll sweep them?
No, but they're going to get past them. That's done.
They'll get past them, and I do think that the Bucks are really on the ropes right now, but I would be very surprised if the Bucks don't, maybe even the series here is sometime in the next week. And I'm not saying that because I think it's 100% going to be some big ref conspiracy. I do think there will be a little bit of that. I mean, the NBA doesn't want to see Giannis get swept out in the second round, but also I think the Bucks are better than they've been playing, and I don't think the Heat are quite this good.
The Heat aren't this good.
Yeah.
The Celtics will roll. The Celtics will roll over Miami.
I think so too.
The Celtics will roll. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero.
Olynyk.
I like. Yeah, Olynyk. Get out of my face. They'll roll over my. If it's Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to win the whole thing. They're going to win the whole stinking thing. And look, I already told you I don't like the way the Clippers are playing. I don't. And I think they struggled way too much with Dallas. Way too much with Dallas. And maybe they'll right the ship, and I'll regret saying that. But I never thought that was a problem matchup for the Celtics. I said it before that Dallas series even began. And Arcan, you told me last night, and you're right, the Lakers would have the best two players in the series against the Celtics. True. LeBron and Davis are better than anything the Celtics have.
Mm-hmm.
After that, what do the Lakers have exactly?
Kyle Kuzma.
It's a pretty steep drop-off, and yeah. I'm a believer in elite talent. I am. But you need a little more than what the Lakers have. So, look, I think they're winning the whole thing. It's opening up too well for them. And they're playing too well, and it's opening up too well. And, oh, by the way, I'll add this, too. This is contingent on the Bucks not being in the Eastern Conference Final.
Right.
Okay? And I don't think the Bucks aren't going to come back, I don't think. Down 0-2, they're not going to come back. If they do, then I'm wrong about that. It's contingent on the Bucks being in the Eastern Conference Final. You know what it's not contingent on? Gordon Hayward. I'm not even factoring Gordon Hayward into this. I don't think they need him. I don't think they miss him. I don't care if he's there or not. If he's there, great. You know, jump in on the ride, Gordon Hayward. But I'm not factoring that in one bit. I'm not like, look, they're 6-0 and they're getting Gordon back. I could care less if he comes back or not. I don't really think he makes a difference. So I'm picking them either way, whether they have Hayward or don't have Hayward.
Okay. And to those people on Twitter who I'm already seeing saying, you're just doing this so that when they lose, you can take a big crap on them.
See,
that's not what you're doing.
What I would say is that, do you second guess my predictions when I take the Sixers and 7 against the Celtics?
Lose, yeah.
Right. So now when I pick against them, I'm a hater. And when I pick them, I'm what? I'm setting them up to fail?
Setting them up to fail so you can go extra turbo.
So that's fine. If you want to say that about me, then just you can't pile on me for getting my other predictions
wrong. We read
you
like a book, Joe.
You can't pile on me for getting my predictions wrong then, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not one of those people.
Oh, Jones, you thought the Sixers were going to win in 7 games. Oh, Jones, you're just setting the Celtics up to fail. Well, then you need to be consistent too. That's all. Yeah, then you need to pick something. I don't care. Then just don't pile on me for my bad predictions. That's fine.
Fair enough.
I'll accept that. I'm still getting Sixers in 7 tweets. Still.
That was a tough one.
I was getting almost as many of those the other day when Smart was raining threes. I was still getting Sixers in 7 the other day.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Sixers in 7. That was a tough pick right there.
Well, you also didn't like the Sixers matchup, and then you bailed when push came to shove.
I said Celtics in 6. And
so
I was
what?
Wrong about that. But I did.
But
you're right.
You said all year you didn't like the Sixers matchup, and then they actually played, and you're like, Celtics.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Simmons was hurt.
You dropped that thing like a lead balloon.
Simmons was hurt.
So what?
Yeah.
So what? You think Ben Simmons would have changed that series?
I don't know if he would have changed it. I think it would have gone probably six games if he played, though.
I think my prediction would have come true if he played, though.
That's right.
617-779-0985. So congrats. Congrats to your 2020 Boston Celtics bubble champions, which I will proceed to put an asterisk on, by the way. I will put an asterisk on it. You know, you don't have to go on the road. So I'll put an asterisk on it if they win it. But congratulations to your Boston Celtics. Banner 18. Have they? I didn't check. I should check my inbox. Have they scheduled a banner raising yet or no?
I don't think so.
I feel like they should. You may just want to get that on the books.
Yeah, it'll be in.
617-779-0985. Let's get
virtual banner raising.
That's true. Yeah, you don't want too many people there for that. Let's get to that. And we'll also get to the refs last night. They were a problem. We'll do that with your phone calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody. It's crazy. This has been going on in the bubble, like the replays. They show the replays sometimes so that obviously it's an advantage if you get to see the replay and then you challenge. So, like myself and I dropped down and tied my shoe up to hopefully see if we see the replay. Scott Foster walked over to me and told me, "Chris, you ain't got to do that. I got him sweeping up the floor." Okay, cool. So I start tying my shoe back up, and he still called the leg game. Don't make no sense. But I don't know. That's crazy. He just, I don't know. We could have won the game, but that situation, league, no. Like, yeah, they going to find me. I said his name. Yeah, we already know the history. It's all bad.
I find him difficult to root for. We were actually talking about this last night, Arcan. I said, I you know, because I'm me, I like James Harden, I like Russell Westbrook. I hear all the time people ripping their games, like, oh, I hate their game. Oh, I can't watch James Harden. No, he's so difficult to watch. Oh, I hate the way Russell Westbrook plays. And I push back on that because they're both great. And they don't get anywhere near enough credit for how great they are. I've said this many times. I said this last night. Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double for 1 year. And people talk about him like he's the great, oh, the big O, he averaged a triple-double 1 year. He was one of the greats. Westbrook does it 3 years in a row, and all people do is crap on him. Westbrook averaged a triple-double for 3 straight years, and people are like, yeah, he was just chasing rebounds. So that bothers me, right? And I like D'Antoni, too. I've always liked D'Antoni from those Suns teams. So I look at them as like a renegade team. I hope they win. They'll probably get bounced by the Lakers. You know, I don't like the Lakers matchup with the Celtics. As I said earlier, hashtag banner 18. Celtics are going to win the whole thing. They're up 2-0. Bucks are down 2-0. Celtics are going to get the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. I like their matchups against LA. They're going to win the whole stinking thing. That occurred to me last night. So put me on Big Jim Murray's C's train. I'm all aboard, okay? But I hope the Rockets go on a deep run. I like Westbrook. I like Harden. I like D'Antoni. I like the Rockets. I was pulling for them last night. Chris Paul is just so whiny. Like, I have a hard time getting on board with him. Plus, he's supposedly, like, the king of, like, he runs the Players Association, but he's kind of working with the owners. Like, whose side are you really on there, Chris Paul? Kind of play in the middle there. So, I'm not a big Chris Paul fan. Never have been. And I was rooting against them last night. The refs were abysmal in all these games. The refs were abysmal.
Yeah.
The call he's complaining about is at the end of the game. So here's what happened. And this is the second game last night. The refs were bad in the Bucks game too now. But here's what happened. The Rockets hit a free throw, one of two. I think it was Chris Covington, if I remember right, to go up. No, never mind. I got to rewind it back further. Anyway, I forgot what the score was. But James Harden blocks Lou Dort, who was a monster. He was like a Marcus Smart times five last night in that game for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Harden blocked him. Lou Dort tries to throw it off Harden. He chucks it out of bounds. So the Rockets get the ball. I think Covington hit a free throw from there.
Yeah, Covington hit one of two, and it was with about 2 seconds left.
Okay, so now it's a two-point game. I think it was like 1.4 seconds or something. Oklahoma City advances the ball. On the inbound, there is this crap, god-awful call, which is why I have a problem with Chris Paul whining about the officials. There's this awful call away from the ball where they give Oklahoma City a free throw.
Yeah.
They give him a freebie. Danilo Gallinari, who's a great free throw shooter, misses.
A free throw and the ball.
A free throw and the ball. Yeah. They gave it to you, Chris. What are you whining about? What are you crying about? Why are you being such a baby? They gave you the free throw on a phantom foul call. They gave that to you. And then Oklahoma City missed on the ensuing three, or they got it stolen, on the ensuing inbounds, and they lose. There was something interesting that Chris Paul mentioned, and this I find hard to ignore. And, you know, I think the ref thing is normally overblown, but I'm not going to look the other way on Tim Donaghy, who we've interviewed before, and I'm not going to ignore the connection to Scott Foster, his buddy. Chris Paul dropped Scott Foster's name elsewhere as well. Here's what else he had to say. Okay, so that's more difficult to hear than I realized. So I'll sum it up. Basically, Scott Foster mentioned to Chris Paul earlier in the game that, yeah, I refereed a game 7 that you lost. And Chris Paul's like, why would you bring that up?
Why would you even tell me
that? How do you even know that? Why do you know the game 7s that I lost? Like, why would you tell me that? So that's admittedly not a great look. And, you know, Scott Foster is not somebody I would trust. Although, people need to pick their conspiracy theory. What was the conspiracy theory going around last night with Scott Foster and the officials?
The theory was that they were going to try and give the game to the Thunder because the Rockets games aren't being played in China because of what Daryl Morey said. Ipso facto, they wouldn't play any of the semifinals between them and the Lakers. So they want to keep LeBron out of China.
This is what annoys me about the whole ref conspiracy theory thing. And I'm not telling you Scott Foster's clean. I don't think he is. But this is what annoys me about the whole Scott Foster or refereeing conspiracy theory. It's like you can throw out any conspiracy theory you want, and then after the game, you can just pick the one that's more convenient. Oh, he hates Chris Paul. Or, oh, they wanted the Lakers on in China to make more money. So, like, you can just pick your conspiracy theory and retroactively fit it after the fact, which I'm guilty of a million times over with all my sports takes, but right. Whatever. That's what bothers me about that one. So, anyway, the refs were bad in that one. The refs were equally bad in the Eastern Conference final game, where Chris Middleton got bailed out on what I thought was a relatively clean defensive play by Dragic. Maybe he got in the airspace a little bit of Middleton. Middleton got three free throws to tie it up. And then at the other end, I mean, Giannis made contact with Butler. It's way after he released the basketball. And, you know, Butler got bailed out on that one too. So the refs were horrible. The end of these games were just awful. I saw a tweet from Chris Sheridan. The end of Rockets Thunder, it took 13 minutes and 15 seconds to play the final 30 seconds. And it felt longer. Like that
felt like it was 15 minutes to play the last 2 seconds.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. It took forever at the end of the Bucks game too.
Yeah.
Like those games just took way too long and the refs inserted themselves way too much into those games. Now, I don't want to hear from Chris Paul. I don't want to hear, they gave you the free throw at the end of the game, and I don't want to hear from anybody in the Bucks and Heat either. Those calls evened out at the end of the game. Middleton got a bad call that went against Miami, and then Butler got a bad call that went against the Bucks. So it all evened out. I don't think there's some grand conspiracy there, but the refs obviously were bad last night and way, way too much a part of the story.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, and I agree with you about the Bucks too. I feel like if you cancel out both bad calls, because there was two, that Butler call was Butler being fouled by Giannis. That was a makeup call. 100% that was a makeup call. There's no way to deny that. It obviously was. And because of that, I sort of look at it and think, okay, well, if you're trying to erase one bad call with another one, let's erase them both. What happens if neither one of those calls get made? The Heat still win.
Yeah.
You know, the Heat still win that game.
Middleton bricks a three, and the Heat still win. So, that's kind of how I look at it, too. If you just erase both questionable calls, Miami still wins, and Miami deserved to win.
Yeah.
They were the better team.
And down the stretch with the Thunder and the Rockets, I don't think there was quite as many bad calls. Like, I don't think that they really botched one, but I do think it was just sort of a lot. You know, I mean, except for the Gallinari thing, that was a pretty bad call there that went against the Rockets. I watched that replay 5 or 6 times. I don't know what the hell they were talking about. And that kind of call is a big one because that's like a defensive 3 seconds. You get one foul shot and the ball, and they're making that call at the end of these games. Just the fact that they were blowing so many whistles at the end of these playoff games, especially a game seven. Like, whatever happened to letting them play? Whatever happened to, all right, it's the end of the game, swallow the whistle, and let's see how this really goes. None of those calls were so obvious that you absolutely had to make them. You know, that if you didn't make them, there was going to be this big uproar all across the NBA and NBA circles. Look at these refs missing this obvious call. That didn't happen on either of them, on any of them, really. Gallinari, Jimmy Butler, Chris Middleton, none of them. All of those didn't need to be called, and I'm surprised they all were.
Good night for the NBA, though. I mean, yeah. The refs were bad, and the refs kind of ruined it. I guess maybe saying a good night is too strong, but they were good games. They were good games that the refs inserted themselves into way too much. So maybe good night is too strong, because, again, the refs were a problem last night. And, you know, that 13 minutes and 30 seconds, and it felt like 15 for the final 2 seconds, 15 minutes for the final 2 seconds just to play out. That was a disaster. 617-779-0985. Just real quick, we talked about this last night. Giannis not guarding Butler. And Butler wasn't killing him last night like he was in game one.
He was pretty bad last night.
Butler had 40 in game one. I think he had 13 last night,
yeah.
Something like that. I still think the defensive player of the year should be able to take a few the final 5 minutes of the game. He should be able to rotate over on Jimmy Butler and erase him. That's what he should have done in game one. If they needed that last night on big possessions, I would have had him on there too. Ironically, even though Giannis doesn't guard Butler, he tried to double him on the final possession, and Giannis got the foul last night.
Right.
So I do have a problem with that. Perk's been very vocal about that, and I think that's fair. But Butler should move over. Giannis should move over on Butler on those possessions.
Yeah, on those possessions in particular. I don't think he has to follow him around all game, because you don't want Giannis to get in foul trouble. And also, Butler's not a great matchup for Giannis with Giannis on defense, because Butler's pretty quick and he's savvy and he can kind of get to the basket and create his own shot. You know, Giannis is good against bigs. He's good against guys like Siakam and, you know, sort of players like that who don't have Butler's all-around game. So I'm not saying that that's 100% going to work for him, but, you know, you got to be able to move over and contest that. And I know what Giannis was saying the other day. He's like, well, I'm not just going to do what the coach tells me. You don't want to defy your coach. And you also don't want to show up the other guy who's guarding Jimmy Butler. Like, yeah, this guy can't do it, so I'm going to have to go do it. But still, I mean, it's the playoffs. You're the defensive player of the year. That guy's giving you 40 points. Go out there and guard him.
617-779-0985. So we were gonna hammer the Red Sox because they gave up another three-home-run game last night, right, to another scrub. And I guess calling Ozuna a scrub is too strong, but Adam Duvall, scrub.
Yeah. Ozuna's pretty good.
So, historically bad, I wanted to rip the Red Sox, but we've had some developments on the Bruins, both from Zdeno Chara and Torey Krug. Let's get to that after the headlines here from Christian Arkin.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it weighs heavily on any decision that, you know, an athlete can make. And if you don't consider that, then I think you're foolish. But for me, it's very important. I think, you know, you can make all the money in the world and have all the security in the world, but if you're not comfortable in the situation, you're not happy, then every day is going to be tough to get up and excited to show up to work and give it all. So,
Torey Krug, earlier today, maybe an hour or so ago, we'll play some more here from Torey Krug that makes it sound like maybe he's not going to continue to be a Boston Bruin. And he doesn't sound overly thrilled about the lack of negotiations. Adam Jones, Christian Arkham with you until 2 o'clock. It's 11:40 here on the Sports Hub. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, you will have an opportunity to win a $100 gift card to Stop and Shop. Whether you're grilling, baking, stir frying, or sauteing, grilling outdoors, or cooking inside, make the most of every meal at Stop and Shop. So again, that comes your way about 15 minutes from now. You want to win a $100 gift card to Stop and Shop. And really, who wouldn't, especially these days?
Mm-hmm.
We'll make sure you stick around. We'll give that away. We got a little more Torey Krug for you here. I asked the question earlier, was he legitimately asked about taking a one-year deal? And I don't know who asked it. I don't mean to pile on whoever asked it, but just Torey Krug ain't taking a one-year deal. He's about to set himself up for life.
Right.
Like, he's not taking a one-year deal. But I guess he was asked that. Here was his response.
Yeah, I'm very opposed to that. I've bet on myself, and, you know, I've shorter-term deals and, you know, less amount of money my whole career now. So this is my time in terms of, you know, my value at its peak, and I have the ability, and I'm in a position now where I have I need to make the most of it. So, I'm very opposed to something like that. I've done it long enough now, and that's the situation I'm facing.
Need to make the most of it. So, again, no hometown discounts here for Torey Krug. I don't hear any of what Zdeno Chara supposedly told the media earlier today, and we were reading some of the tweets, that he wants to remain a Boston Bruin, and he wants to stay here, and he wants to keep playing. Did you hear any of that from Torey Krug? I didn't hear any of that.
Nope.
Did not hear any of that.
Not a word.
Okay. So, and look,
I wasn't expecting to hear that from him, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you hear, yeah, sure, I'd stay a Boston Bruin. Sure, I want to stay a Boston Bruin. And maybe he said that elsewhere. I've only heard a couple of these clips and seen a few of the tweets here. So perhaps he did say that elsewhere. But doesn't sound overly willing to take any sort of discount. Certainly not a one-year deal. I think he was also asked about the negotiations or lack thereof in season, which does sound like a source of frustration from Torey Krug. Here you go.
The contact was very, very few and far between. You know, for whatever reason, and it just, it is what it is. As far as what it looks like, I don't really know, what the future holds in terms of the coming weeks, and, free agency isn't until about, I think a week after the season ends in terms of the Stanley Cup being awarded. So, we'll see. I guess there's a lot of time between now and then. I'm not really sure, you know, what the future holds, and I'm willing to sit back and see what happens here. But
so here's the real question, Arkan. Torey Krug's going to make $7.5-8 million, right? Eight's maybe on the high end. Are you giving him that for how old is Krug now?
Torey Krug, I think, is 20.
I was going to say, like, late 20s. Are you going to give him that for 5, 6, 7, 8 years? Like, That's what he's going to get. I mean, 8 years is probably long. Are you going to give him that for 4, 5, 6 years? $7 to $8 million. I'm asking you, you're Don Sweeney. The Bruins have $15 million in cap space. Are you going to wipe out half your cap space for Torey Krug?
No.
I would.
I wouldn't.
I would, because I
like Krug, but I wouldn't give him that into his 30s. I just don't think it's worth it.
I can carve out more money like that with the Bruins. You want me to carve out more money? Buy Krejci, buy Tuukka. There you go. What I just save you? $14 million?
Yeah.
Something like that? So, like, my only point, and maybe you'd take some money back in either of those deals. My only point is that they can free up a lot more cap space. And while I want them to continue to add to their team, and I do want them to, and I'm guilty of saying this before, I do want them to alter their core a little bit more. Krug's not a guy I'm letting go. I would pay Torey Krug $7-8 million, 4, 5, 6 years. I would do that with their cap space. I would do that. And then if I need to change the core I'm changing is Krejci. The core I'm changing is the goalie, if he even wants to be here. I'd let DeBrusque walk. Bye. See ya. Don't need to see him miss the net anymore in the postseason. See you later, Jake DeBrusque. Who else? Who else do they have for free agents who are up? Grizzlick, I guess. I'd probably try to keep Matt Grizzlick. And then you use the remaining savings to try to beef up your bottom six. And if Charlie Coyle's your number two center, with David Krejci out the door, Charlie Coyle's your number two center. And that's what I do going forward. Maybe give Stanika the third line. I don't know. But I would say bye-bye to Jake DeBrusque. I would rather keep Torey Krug at $8 million a year than Jake DeBrusque at $4.5 million, $5 million, $5.5 million. I would rather do that.
Yeah, there's some other guy. Like, Senishin's going to be a restricted free agent.
Bye.
Zboril.
Bye.
Wait a minute.
They don't have Shabbat and Barzell? They don't have Kyle Connor?
No,
oh, that's
don't.
Tough. They're gonna lose out on Senishin and Zboril. Woof. Boy, that was a nice draft for the old Sween dog there.
Yeah, and there's also the little matter of Zdeno Chara, too, which we don't know exactly what he's going to do. He says he wants to
sorry.
Stay.
Oh, right. Duh. That's the obvious one. What did Chara make last year? A couple million?
Yeah, two, I think.
Okay, so bring him back on roughly the same deal.
Yeah. And if that's the way it works, listen, if they can carve out that kind of space for Torey Krug, I wouldn't have a huge problem with that. I wouldn't want them to wipe out half of their space to get him. But I'm also not necessarily
that's what it's going to cost.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying if they were able to free up more space than that and it wouldn't be half of it, then I'd say fine. But I'm also not necessarily sure I'd pick Krug over Krejci right now, because I feel like on defense, they have good young players on their defense. They have good young players on their D. Torey Krug's a standout, especially when it comes to power plays. But I would say overall that they need more help in their top six, certainly in the 4-5-6 there on that second line, especially if you move on from DeBrusk. David Krejci's old, but he did show that he's still got something left in the tank, I think, in these playoffs. And also, I mean, you know, what else do you have there? What else do you have in the bottom six? Like, you're really thin at forward.
So
right now.
Krug and Carlo, by the way, were a massive problem the whole time in the bubble.
Yeah,
even against Carolina and especially against Tampa. Was that about Krug or was that about Carlo? Like, Krug's not a shutdown guy.
No.
That's about your shutdown guy next to him.
Carlo wasn't good.
Krug is the offense. Krug is the power play specialist. Krug is the puck mover. And Carlo's the big guy who's supposed to clear people out. That's his job. And he didn't. I put almost all of that on Carlo. What was the game where he rang in around the boards? Is that the overtime loss? Is that the 4-3 loss? Game two?
Yeah. He had a couple of bad turnovers.
Like, he's the one who, and I'm not telling you Krug was great, but Krug was one of the guys who showed up in the 7-1 blowout. He was one of the few guys who did it. I would keep Torey Krug. That's what I would do. 617-779-0985. Bruins fans, what are you doing? And stay tuned. We got a $100 gifty to Stop and Shop that we're giving away next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're coming up on noon. 98.5 The Sports Hub. No Zoe, no Beetle. Jones and Arcan night show takeover till 2. Here on a Thursday, kind of feels like a Friday for me, Arcan.
Feels like one to me too, but right, I have to work tomorrow and Saturday.
You're off tomorrow, right? No, you're not. You're back.
Yeah.
And on Saturday?
Saturday with Gasper, yeah.
Ooh, sorry, brought it up. Anyway,
me too.
We're here until 2 with all your phone calls. But in the meantime, caller 10 right now, Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You get the aforementioned $100 gift card to Stop and Shop. Whether you're grilling, baking, stir frying, or sauteing, grilling outdoors, or cooking inside, make the most of every meal at your Stop and Shop. So again, caller 10 right now, Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You get $100 to Stop and Shop. Have at it there. It's a good freebie there. Meanwhile, just quickly, I was reading this in the last break. We were talking about the Bruins. A lot of people are giving me flack on my Torey Krug take, by the way. Oh, Hockey Jones. Looks like you're back to Hoops Jones now, Hockey Jones. What do you know? I'll just tell you, I've been more right, I think, on any Bruins contract than anybody. I think I've been more right on any Bruins contract than anyone in the city. And that's true. I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek. Do you remember the advantage, Shirelli? Do you remember that drop?
Yes.
Have you ever heard that? Do you know where that came from? The Bergeron contract.
Bergeron versus, like, the Blackhawks something, right?
Yeah. Versus Taves and Kane.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, or it might have just been Taves. Kane might be worth his deal. He probably is worth his deal. Taves, That was a good deal by Shirelli. That was an obviously good deal by Shirelli. And you know me, I'm not even the biggest Bergeron guy.
Right.
People thought the Bruins overpaid for David Pastrnak. I like that deal. I would have given Pastrnak more than he got. I was advocating that. I would have given him, you know, not what Dreisaitl wound up getting, but I would have given Pastrnak more. That was a great deal. Marchand was an obviously great deal. Krug's last deal I was on board with as an obviously great deal. I did like the Krejci contract. That one I'll take back. I was off on that one. I hated Bolesky. I hated Backes from day one. I was on this show. I was on middays the day Backes signed. And I'm like, that contract stinks. He's cooked. It originally came out, if you remember, that they got Backes on a one-year deal. I'm like, good deal.
Yeah.
Backes on 5 years or whatever that thing was. Yeah. I plugged my nose and threw up on the air when it happened. So just careful who you're talking to. Old Hockey Jones knows what he's talking about when it comes to Bruins and their contracts. I'd give Krug the money, and I would not give it to DeBrusque. And I'd bring back Chara, and I think that was all of it.
You think Krug is worth that much money?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to get it. So do you want him or do you not?
Yeah, but I'm saying, if you were a GM, would you pay him that much? Like,
yeah,
age?
I think he's like one of the
specialty defensemen.
I think he's one of like the top five scoring defensemen in the NHL over like the last however many years. Like, I mean, he's one of the top scoring guys. Is most of it on the power play and not at even strength? Sure. I mean, that is true. That's true. I'd like more from him 5-on-5. But I said it before, I'll say it again. Who do you blame for the Krug-Carlo pairing getting caved in against Tampa?
I blame Carlo mostly, since he's really more of the stand-up guy.
Carlo. Yeah. I blame him more than Krug. I'm sorry, I do. He's the guy who's supposed to be better in his own end. And Krug could have been better. I'm not saying he's blameless, but I put more of that on Carlo than Krug. Bruins fans just fall in love with big, burly people. That's all. They like, if you're small and quick and have talent, Bruins fans don't like you. They fall in love with the big, burly stiffs who can't move.
Maybe on defense.
Yeah, period. They
well,
like
they don't
Backus.
Like Brad Marchand.
They like Backus when he signed.
Yeah.
Well, that'll add a little sandpaper to their game. I don't want sandpaper, you morons. I want talent. I want talent. So I'd keep Torrey Krug. That's what I would do. 617-779-0985. David Backus. Let's go to Mark in Georgetown. And I hate to pull a Felger on you here, Billy, but I think I'm frozen up. If you can pop me up back there, I think I'm frozen up. Mark in Georgetown, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
So, quick point before I get into the rest of the Bruins. Regarding the Krug contract, I'm going to use a little like juxtaposition here as far as a high-paid offensive. Okay, so Keith Yandle, I think he makes six and change from Florida every year. Would you pay Krug that? Yeah, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I would, yeah.
You would, right. I'm sorry, Jones, I was talking to Arcan.
Oh, okay,
I didn't mean to like throw you in there. Sorry.
I mean, six, that'd be on the high end of what I'd pay him, but I'd probably do that, yeah.
Well, you're not going to get him.
But Yandle sort of like revalued himself in Florida, right? Remember, he went to the Rangers, he kind of sucked, and then he maybe went somewhere else after, I don't know, but he landed in Florida, he's been pretty good there. Now, granted, he's on a seven-year deal, he's 33, he's got 4 years left on the deal. Would I want any part of that? No. So that goes back to kind of Jones's point of, you're kind of in this middle area where it also depends, by the way, what's the free agent market look like? Because I know you guys are looking for Bruins help in the top six. I agree. I don't think they didn't score nearly enough. This year, the first line was the best in the playoffs. Last year was the opposite. Second, you know, whatever. I think the Bruins need a big, bad top two defenseman, like a real big, bad Victor Hedman type. Franchise corner defenseman. I think Jake DeBrusque sucks.
Well, that guy needs to be McAvoy, right? Like that needs to be McAvoy. Like you're not finding that guy in free agency, I don't think. I got to refamiliarize myself with the free agent list, which I admittedly don't know off the top of my head. But no, look, I mean, I actually think Yandle would be a cautionary tale for Krug because he's 20, right? When Yandle signed that deal, he was probably about 29.
Right.
And I understand it's a flat cap this year, but I think premium guys are still going to get paid, and Krug's going to be a premium guy as a free agent. So
I'm not sure he should be, and I hate to say because it sounds like I'm dumping on Krug, but you said top five offensive.
You're dumping on him.
I don't think he's top five offensive. I think Wrensky's better. I think Dougie Hamilton's better.
No, what I said was...
Letang's better. Shea Weber's better.
Because I would agree. I don't think...
John Carlson, I'd take over him.
Better anymore. Who else did you say?
John Carlson, Wrensky.
No.
Weber.
Wrensky, I would.
Hamilton.
Hamilton, I would.
I'd take Hamilton.
I'm the odd
Petrangelo, I'd take.
I wouldn't. Over Krug, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think Petrangelo's cooked. I think Letang is cooked. What I was saying about Krug, because I agree, the stats lie a little bit with Krug because most of it's power play. I was just saying statistically, I think over like the last 5 years, he's a top five offensive defenseman in terms of point production, I think. I'd have to fact check myself. You can play maybe.
Letang had more points than him this year.
Yeah, I think Letang. How much time has Letang missed the last few years?
I mean, a good amount. But
yeah, I mean,
he had like health problems too. Real health problems, just like injuries. Like there was
yeah,
real problems
He would scare me on that front. But anyway, not really my point. Yandle would be a bit of a cautionary tale because you know in 4 years Krug's going to be 33, 34, and how's he going to age? I understand you're probably going to have to give him like a no movement clause in his deal, and so maybe this is irrelevant. But like, could you leave him unprotected in the expansion draft coming up? Like, if you get into the first year and you don't like it, could you leave him unprotected in the expansion draft? Like, I don't know. Again, probably not, because he's going to have a no-movement clause, which probably means you have to protect him, but maybe there's a way to do that. 617-779-0985. We will get to all your phone calls. Some of you waiting patiently on the Bruins. Tyrone in Tennessee, he's been waiting forever on the Patriots. We got away from the Patriots, so we can get to him, because I do want to circle back to Mohamed Sanu out. Leonard Fournette, a Tampa Bay Buck. We'll get to all that after the headlines from Arcan.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Three receivers right, one left. Brady in the gun, White to his left. A third and five for the Buffalo 45. Brady points with his left hand to set the protections. He identifies the mic. He leans forward, waiting on the snap. He takes it. He backs up. Throws it left. Catch by Sanu. Snags it. Reaches the football forward. Did he get the first down? Hyde dragged him back.
He's got to know.
It's a good spot for Buffalo. Sanu tried to reach the football out. The clock.
So it's corner blitz. He knows he's the hot route. He's got to catch it and know where those sticks are and fight his ass off to get out there. He's got to put that ball out there better.
Words to this song. I just realized we don't have the thing up on in here, Arkan. Apologies to Josh over at NBC.
Easy lover. That's all you need to know.
Take your hold on, you believe it.
Right. She's like no other.
Like no other.
And before you know it,
she'll be on your knees.
Who will be on their knees?
You'll be on your knees.
You will. Yeah. Okay, I was going to say, the other way around might be problematic.
She's like no other.
I do know this next part.
She's the kind of girl you dream of.
Right. I could use the lyrics, though. That's
definitely
on,
helps.
That's on us, though. I'm sure Josh has it on the simulcast. I don't like looking. I know most people out there don't like looking at me. I likewise don't like looking at myself, yeah. So I should have turned it on.
I'm with you, because I know it's not going to be good. Like, if I look up, I know it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I know what I look like, and I've hated it my whole life. So I just, you know, I've been uncomfortable with it my whole life.
Right.
So apologies to the greater New England area, greater Boston area, I should say, and throughout New England. All over the country, really. Should have brushed up on the lyrics. That's on me. I'll wear that one. Just past noon here on the Sports Hub, 617-779-0985. Let's get back to Mohamed Sanu. You heard Zoe ripping him again. Zoe was getting into Sanu good last year.
Yeah.
And he deserved it. Like, I said this earlier, forgive me for repeating myself, but let's pour one out for the greatest receiver that I have ever seen. And I mean this. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. The greatest receiver that I have ever seen at when you need 6 yards on third down, he'll get you four. Like, every time, consistently, every single time. He's never going to get you a first down. Just get the first down right out of your heads. He's never going to get that for you, right? So that's a pipe dream, okay? What you're hoping for, and what he's very consistent at doing, is giving you a fourth and short. You want a fourth and one or a fourth and two? Maybe go for it? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, those hidden yards that Bill Belichick right. loves so much? Get you four extra yards before you punt? Because, you know, special teams matter a whole bunch. There's four extra yards for you that Sanu just got you. The best I have ever seen in my 36 years on this planet at getting you 4 yards on a third and six, Mohamed Sanu. Pour one out because the Patriots released him last night. Another receiver that Bill Belichick just has no clue about.
Yeah.
Another wide receiver that Bill Belichick looks at and says, I couldn't tell you who's good, couldn't tell you who's bad. John Baldwin, Julio Jones, same to me. Mohamed Sanu, Manny Sanders, what's the difference? You know? N'Keal Harry, DK Metcalf, and now, like, I like N'Keal Harry, too, so I'm treading into dangerous territory. N'Keal Harry, DK Metcalf, N'Keal Harry, AJ Brown, all look the same to me. Like Bill likes all these receivers that stink, and he likes none of the receivers that are good. And Mohamed Sanu, it's the same. Rinse, repeat, over and over and over again, in perpetuity, for infinity. Bill has no idea what he's doing at the position. Generally a good, not great, and slightly overrated general manager. But, you know, this is maybe Bill's worst trade ever. And that's a credit to Bill. Like, A lot of teams swing and miss on a second-round pick for a player.
Right.
A lot of teams do that, and that's not to let Bill off the hook. It's just to say this may be his worst trade that he's ever made, and it was obviously bad from day one.
Yeah, it was. And I just was sort of thinking of something right now. Like, Bill's missed on most of the wide receivers, with the exception of, like, the Welker trade, the Moss trade, the Branch draft, and I don't even want to count Edelman because he was a seventh-round quarterback. They turned him into a wide receiver. So that's just three out of all – in all the 20 years, I mean, really, that's it. And, you know, that's not great, but – I'd take that over the Jets, who couldn't find a quarterback in 20 years, or many of these other teams who have just been, you know, trying over and over and over again to get something there at that quarterback position. And now Bill had the same guy for 20 years, and that's unusual, but it is sort of, it does go to show. I mean, I think that Bill, even in that time,
can I ask a question?
Had some good quarterback pick. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, that was a good draft pick. You know, I mean, even Matt Cassel had some success. Jacoby Brissett's a starter in the league right now. He's had some hits at quarterback, more so than other teams.
I completely agree with that. Yeah. But why, and I hear a lot of people say this, why do you give him credit for Brady but not Edelman?
What do you mean?
Well, one's a sixth-round pick, one's a seventh-round pick.
Like, well, one's a quarterback and played quarterback. The other guy was a quarterback.
Yeah,
they didn't know what to do with him.
One's a guy they passed on 15 times, and so is the other guy. Like,
right.
Like, if you like Brady so much, you should have drafted him before you took Dave Stachelski or whoever they took.
I agree with that.
And Antoine Harris, whoever else they drafted before Brady.
Unless they drafted Edelman with the, you know, explicit belief that he was going to become a wide receiver, I wouldn't necessarily give him credit.
They didn't draft
him
as a quarterback. I'm not sure they knew where they were going to play him. They knew he wasn't going to be a quarterback. They drafted him as an athlete. And, you know, they ended up hitting there. So I don't give them no credit for Edelman. I just think they weren't very confident in that one. That wasn't a receiver they targeted. And Brady wasn't a quarterback they targeted. They're guys that they said, you know what, we like some things about this guy. Let's see what we got. And they ended up knocking it out of the park with both of them. So I would lump them similarly. I understand the position change. I get what you're saying there. But I would lump them into a similar category. If they knew what they were getting in Brady, they would have drafted him in the first round. Not the sixth.
Sure.
After Dave Stachelski and Antoine Harris and everybody else they drafted that year. Adrian Clem, or maybe Adrian Clem was 2000. I forget the whole draft that year. They would have drafted him higher. And same thing with Edelman. So that's where I'd get on them for that. Like, that was just a...
They drafted Clem, Redman, Greg Randall, Dave Stachelski,
Marriott. Right. Brady was 2000. I'm an idiot.
Antoine Harris, yeah.
Yeah.
And Patrick Pass in the seventh round.
Ooh, Patty Pass. Friend of the night program.
Yeah.
I got to give Patrick Pass credit for this. I argued tooth and nail with Patrick Pass on the highly rated Monday Night Blitz at the Scoreboard up in Woburn. I argued with Patrick Pass tooth and nail. He said that Malcolm Butler was going to be better than Darrell Revis the first year that Revis went back to the Jets.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Good call.
Patrick Pass.
Call Patty Pass.
Pour one out for the Monday Night Blitz while you're at it. Mohamed Sanu in the Monday Night Blitz. 617-779-0985. I promised we'd go to Tyrone in Tennessee. He's been waiting very, very patiently. Tyrone, go ahead.
Hey, Adam Jones. Good to talk to you for the first time. I've seen you throughout NBC sports coverage on different shows, and honored to talk to you, man. I like your swag and attitude, man.
Well,
and,
I got a lot of swag. That's true, yeah.
Well, I know Felger called you evil, so I'm evil too, so I'm about ready to bring some evil.
Okay, great.
And I think a couple of things is, I think the end is near for Bills, and I'm going to say it by this. I think this team is not a good team this year. I don't think he had a succession plan at the quarterback position. I think his plan was Tom coming back on a team-friendly discount deal. He thought at the end of the day, Brady would fuss and moan like he's done before, and he would take the cheese and come back. He did not think Brady had the balls to go to Tampa or L.A. Chargers or anywhere else. So he thought he was going to have Brady back for one more year. That's what he really thought at the end of the day. And it didn't happen. Instead, Brady dropped a giant creamsicle turd on his face and asked him how it tastes. And now he got caught with a pass down. So Cam Newton was just sitting out there, got him at a good low ball price, no doubt about it.
Yep.
But let's just be honest. Cam's not going to turn it around with this team this year. Cam's going to realize what Brady went through last year, that he's got Julian Edelman and a bag of bums.
Yeah, so, well, Tyrone, I first of all, a creamsicle turd dropped on his face is a phenomenal line. I don't know if I'd agree that that's what happened.
Especially with the accent. Creamsicle turd right on his face. That was a bad impression.
Those are great accent. Vol's colors down there is what those
are. Right.
I don't know if the Leonard Fournette move is another creamsicle turd in Bill's eye, but we can get to that coming up in a little bit. Meanwhile, I gave you a rundown. First of all, I agree with him that Bill's plan was Brady. Bill's plan was Brady will cave, we'll have him back. And Bill got it wrong. Just like Bill got it wrong in the Super Bowl. I can win without Malcolm Butler. Wrong, Bill. No, you can't. Sorry, Bill. You can't win with Oh, God. Who were the scrubs running around in that game? Well, I don't even remember anymore. Was Eric Rowe one of them? Eric Rowe and... who was the special team scrub they played over him?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Jordan Richards.
Richards played. There was another guy who ended up going somewhere else.
Creamsicle turds is what they were. Yeah. So just like Bill thought he could win without Malcolm Butler, Bill thought and got it wrong. And whatever, everybody gets stuff wrong. Sixers and seven over here. Bill got it wrong and thought that Brady would break and cave and roll over and come back to the Patriots as he always has done. And you know, he should have paid more attention to the reporting that Tom had his house on the market and everything else, because I thought Tom was gone all year. But I understand that Brady had broken and rolled over and let Bill rub his belly every single time, right? Like over and over and over again, Brady broke. That's what Bill thought. That was the plan at quarterback. Can I give you my wide receiver depth chart again for the Patriots now that Sanu is gone?
Sure.
And by the way, I have no problem with Sanu being gone. I don't need 4 yards on third down. On third and six, don't need it. Thanks. Julian Edelman, old. N'Keal Harry, apparently fat and out of shape.
Old, fat.
Damir Bird, journeyman. Gunnar Olszewski, if you read the reports, can't catch, which seems like a problem in a wide receiver. Like, I don't love that. You know, balls are clanging off his hands like frying pans out there. So Gunnar Olszewski can't catch. And, oh, yeah, Jakobi Meyers, nice in the preseason. Couldn't do anything in the regular season. Devin Ross, I know you like him, Arcand, Colorado Buffalo.
That's right.
But
shoulder to shoulder.
Would not have high expectations for him.
By the way, I was
bouncing around
on
a couple of practice
Johnson
squads.
Bademosi.
I was too, actually. Yes, yeah. Johnson Bademosi. Another. Well, I guess those weren't creamsicle turds. Those were your red, white, and blue turds.
Yeah, or green and white turd, if you will.
Bill's got to watch that diet. I got to when that's coming at you. I think he's cleaned it up. That's probably why he switched to Subway. I think he's eating healthier.
Right.
He's cleaned things up a little bit. When stuff like that's coming out of your body,
creamsicle turd.
It's best to call your physician there.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. So we'll get to all your thoughts on Mohamed Sanu and why can't Bill draft wide receivers, can't identify receivers via trade, can't sign them off the street. Like, why does Bill have a blind spot for that? We'll get to that with all your feedback next.
Zola, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three receivers right, one left. Brady in the gun, White to his left. A third and five for the Buffalo 45. Brady points with his left hand to set the protections. He identifies the mic. He leans forward, waiting on the snap. He takes it. He backs up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.